Welcome to your heavenly refuge, a space to unwind your mind, slow down your rhythm, and fill your whole body up with inspiration.
Dreaming with open eyes, being in another world. Don't know what's truth or lie, all these stories that you've heard. Having difficulties to speak, because they seem so far away. It is time to be awake, got important things to say.
This podcast will nourish you with the stories from beautiful creators and entrepreneurs who have already made a change in their lives using their gifts to walk their talk. Welcome again. My name is Oyana Galordual, yoga teacher and wellness consultant, enthusiastic about bringing the stories of people who share their unique blueprints with the world. It is so good to be back in the train of Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers. I took some time off during the last month to upgrade my body and my nervous system, and I'm so thankful today to have another guest in front of me and to have the opportunity to share with you this beloved project of mine, Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers. My intention behind this podcast is that you get to hear the wisdom of experts and guests and friends that live on the island, that they are part of the Ibiza community, who bring a lot of goodness into this planet. Our guest today is Sudhir. He's a meditation, inner child therapy, family constellation, breathwork, and NLP facilitator. He has been leading men's circles since the 90s. He was the faculty director of the Osho Mystery School at Osho Multiversity. He worked with the Swedish Olympic team as part of the mental coaches and has been facilitating leadership trainings for global companies. Nowadays, he's part of the Path of Love leadership team in Germany. He's the co-founder of the Community Unconditional Men, organizing online courses and holiday retreats for men, fathers, and leaders. I'm so thankful and happy to have this conversation with you, Sudhir. How are you?
Great. Thanks for your invitation. I'm really happy to be with you here today, and I feel quite at home at the Refugees for Dreamers, you know. That's my place.
I'd like to start the conversation asking you if you'd like to share important shifting points in your life that brought you here today.
Okay, I have a few really important moments in my life, and I would call it like where you come to the crossroad, where you feel that life in a way is more intense. And the first one is long ago. I studied in Munich. I worked as an engineer building cars in Germany. But I felt that this was not my calling, you know, to build cars. Even I had a very successful career, made a lot of money. So one Friday afternoon, I decided that I'm going to drop all that. I dropped my career. I dropped my securities. And I'm just going to travel around the world in search for who am I. So that was a moment where I listened to my heart, and it was a very courageous decision. And interesting wise, the meaning of the word courage is not boldness, but the original meaning comes from cur or corathon, which means the heart. Okay. So the core of courage is to listen and to express the voice of your heart. So I felt that was really happening at that moment, that I was true to my own values and not wasting my life in a career where I'm not interested in cars. And this kind of moments happened quite a few more, where always there was a dilemma or a very important decision. Mm. maybe I can tell you one more, which was, so I moved into the world. I came to India. I did education as a yoga teacher training. Then I came to the Osho commune in Pune, which was at that time, I was 25. It was like heaven on earth, you know. It was all that I was wishing for. It was a community of spiritual seekers. There was people from all around the world. It was inspiring. Everybody was there to meditate and so on. So I ended in paradise and I lived here for more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then my son was born, and I had this decision to make if I want to continue with my independent, adventurous bachelor lifestyle, or if I would commit to my son, you know. And that was not an easy decision because I didn't feel ready to become a father. Wow. And in Sweden, I didn't have any friends, I didn't have any connections, I didn't have any job up there. But when I sat in meditation, the voice came so clear, you need to be present with your son. Mm. And so many sons grew up without a father, so I can't do the same mistake. Mm. So I left India, I left paradise, I moved to Sweden alone. And looking back after many years, it's still one of the most beautiful decisions that I actually made, that to be present and to be part of my son's life. So that was like two examples of courageous decisions.
Yes, courageous decisions led by the heart.
Yeah, yeah. Following that voice. Mm.
Was it at that point when you started leading men's circles?
No, that was much earlier. It was still when I lived in India. And up to that moment, I had been in courses and seminars and retreats that were usually led by women. And it was the first seminar, I think it was 1990, where it was led by four men and by men only. And that was a revelation to me to be in a men's course for the first time. And I felt how much nourishment that was, because usually I avoided meetings of men or connectedness with men because I felt the usual games of, you know, ego competition and alpha males and who's the best and all that. So I had been avoiding that for many years. But when I did that seminar with men only for the first time, I felt like an incredible nourishment from brother to brother. Okay. So I got curious in that work, and then I started to lead my first men's seminar maybe around 1991. So that's 30 years ago or even a bit more. And I'm still, it's still my big passion to work with guys.
Yes. Sometimes in society there is an invitation for men to compete against themselves. What changes when men gather in circles? How do they find the connection among themselves?
Well, the first thing we usually realize when we come together as brothers and as friends, that all these ideas about how we should be as a man, what is masculinity and what is success and how should we live our life, that's all definitions that come from the outside, that are made by other people. So they can never be authentic because they don't come from our inner core. So that's the first step, that we realize success and masculinity, all these definitions are actually have not much value. We need to discover it ourselves. And then the journey starts. And the beautiful thing that happens, that many men have quite a, let's say, negative attitude towards their own masculinity, because so much went wrong because of men over hundreds of thousands of years. So there's a judgment, there's a guilt feeling, there's a shame around being a man.
Yeah.
And that's one side, and I can come back to that later, because this shadow side of masculinity, we do need to take responsibility. But the beautiful thing that happens is that they discover that there's a whole other side to masculinity, which you could call the sacredness of masculinity or the light side. And then they discover there's so much beauty in men. You know, there's creativity, there's adventurousness, there's clarity, there's ingenuity, there's, you know, so much power in a positive sense, not the destructive power, but the empowering power. So I think that's one of the beautiful discoveries, that men start to become proud of their qualities. So what we need now in this crucial time of history of mankind is men who stand their ground, you know, men that are rooted, that have confidence, that are creative, that trust their power. And I mean a power in a positive sense, a power that's supporting other people, not controlling or dominating. So that's what I mean with the light side of masculinity, the sacredness. That's all this incredible, beautiful qualities. And most men don't know about their own beauty. So I think that's one of the first steps to acknowledge that and to appreciate, to say, well, you know, men are also wonderful.
Yes.
And they have a shadow side, which we need to take responsibility for, both of it.
So you mentioned two concepts there, authentic masculinity, and you mentioned embodiment. You said now is the time for men to be rooted and embodied. Could you talk about authenticity and embodiment?
Well, anything that you find for yourself, I would call authentic masculinity. Anything that's defined by some book, some theory, some method coming from the outside, I would never call that authentic. So basically, you have to find out yourself, and there's nobody who can make rules or guidelines what is right and wrong. To be a man. But there are certain maps to explore masculinity. And sometimes a map can be helpful because it gives you orientation. And that's a map I use in lots of seminars for men. We use it here with the Unconditional Man on Ibiza. I use it in the men's liberation courses. We use it sometimes in open circles. And that's the map of masculinity and actually having two sides of the coin, like the sacredness of masculinity and the shadow side. But that's only half of humanity. So then there's the femininity, which is also divided in two aspects, the sacredness femininity and the so-called negative or the shadow side of femininity. So now suddenly we have actually four different aspects of our psyche. And as we all are man and woman inside, we have all the four aspects. So the interesting thing is to discover how these four areas kind of interrelate within ourselves. How is the negative masculinity meeting the negative femininity, and what can heal them, and what rescues them, and what do they need in order to come out of their quarrels and worries and troubles and conflicts and all that, you know. So basically, everything that happens on the outside is just a reflection on that inner dynamic. So I think that map is very, very helpful, because it gives quite a holistic picture. And what I said before, no matter which body we live, you know, if it's a male body or female body, we all have this unique mix of these qualities. So we are all man and woman in our psychology, in our emotional makeup. We are not man or woman, we are both. So that's why all these qualities reside within ourselves. So men are also can also be very feminine, as women can be very masculine. And I think if we own all of it, the light side and the shadow, the masculinity and the femininity, that for me is integrity. That's a whole person. And I always say to my friends, you know, why would you only be a man if you can be the whole humanity, if you can be man and woman?
Totally. I'd love to hear more details about the map you just talked about. So there are two parts in this map. One explores the feminine side and another the masculine side. Which are the origins of this map?
Originally, I think this map is from the world of Tantra.
Okay.
But then in the Greek philosophy, they had the symbol division of, you know, the heroes, the masculinity, and then Aphrodite, the soft, gentle woman on the female side. So they had a division only between masculinity and femininity. Then psychology, Jung and Freud, they had the same, they had anima and animus. So it was always like the division only in two fields, male and female. But on that map, the Tantra map, they added that second dimension, which makes it such more rich. And it's like a roadmap, you know, because it helps you to get a certain orientation. Let's say you as a man, as a brother, you mentioned before the competitiveness and the ego and, you know, the whole alpha male egoistic structure and the patriarch and all that, that had been doing so much harm to the planet, to a woman, to humanity in general. So naturally, as a man, you feel like, oh my God, I don't want to be that kind of man. So you judge that aspect of masculinity. But then that means also that you cut yourself off that root. And that aspect have a lot of power, a negative power. But how would you want to transform that destructive, controlling, dominating power into something healthy or life assertive if you say no to it? So the way through it is basically that we have to have the courage again. And courage means in this sense to allow ourselves to be vulnerable and to admit, well, you know, we do have a lot of shadows. And it's not our mistake. We are not sinners, but we do that out of compassion and out of awareness. We confront these aspects and then they can start to transform.
And how do you work with the men so they reconnect with their masculine roots?
It's a process of, as I said, courage to not deny, but to basically confront these elements and not to confront them with, I want to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Then usual attitude of transcending, of not liking something and then kind of trying to cut it out or deny, but to confront it with, call it self-compassion. Say, you know, we are born into the system. And me as a man, when I grew up in the post-war generation, you know, there was about 6 million boys in Germany that didn't grow up with a father. So it's a huge gap. There's a huge deficiency. And on top of it, there were no real heroes, no male role models that inspired me. Now, if you look at the politics, it was all, you know, self-serving egoists, presidents and dictators. There was no real man that deserved to be my role model. So I was left alone growing up as a boy. And the same with all the brothers in my age and also the younger generation. So there's a gap. And then we get confronted through mainstream media and all that about all the bad things that men did, which is true. They did a lot of bad things over hundred thousands of years. So the feeling that grows within the man, especially the young man, that there's something wrong with me, with masculinity. And then because it's such an uncomfortable feeling and such a feeling, as you said, of shame or guilt, we start to project it outside. Mm-hmm. And we look for all the other guys that are responsible, look for scapegoats, we blame society, we blame the system, but then we're stuck because we never really own that it's there too inside ourselves. And there's interesting quote from Leo Tolstoy. He says, you know, everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to change himself. So I think one of the important insights is that if you want to change the world, you have to start with yourself. If you want to make this planet a better world, we men, but also women, have to look at our shadow sides, own them, integrate them, befriend them, accept them, and in a way, you know, regulate it so we're not lashing out with our negative energies. So that, I think, is a real hope for humanity to take responsibility. So I think that's one of the keys of the work. You asked how it happens within a man's group. So one of the major keys is responsibility. I own it, you know. I'm not running away. I'm not judging it. I say, yes, I'm also an asshole. Maybe I'm also a beautiful man and I can be proud of my qualities, but I also have the shadow side. So owning it is the first step.
And you were talking about the father archetype. How do you help men in the retreats reconcile with their fathers and reconcile with the father archetype inside?
I think the father archetype is for sure one of the most beautiful, gentle, caring, masculine aspects and roles. But as I told you before, I was so scared. I just didn't feel ready to become a father because up to that point, everything was about me, you know, my meditation, my spiritual path, my personal development, my guru, my truth, and I could just continue for a long time, you know. And then suddenly there was a V, you know. So he was in the belly of his mother, he was on his way, and I felt, my God, you know. In this planet, in this crazy society, me, half-cooked human being, not even ready, how shall I ever be able to take responsibility for that new, fresh, innocent being coming to the earth as a gift from heaven, you know? I felt inadequate, you know? And the first tendency was to run away from it, you know, mm-hmm. I can't commit to that, and I need my freedom, you know, the typical voices. I don't want to change my lifestyle, you know, I'm happy where I am. So it was like mm-hmm. the first escape, you could say. But luckily, I had the courage to take that step and to move to Sweden and to be with him. And looking back, that has been one of the most beautiful decisions and important decisions I did, that I, you know, was present in his life, my son's life. And that I didn't feel ready to become a father, I think many men can relate to that. Because I think one of the reasons is that we never had a good example of a father, you know. There's so many men who said, you know, my father was never proud of me. My father was never really there. He was maybe busy working, but emotionally, he never stood up for me. He was never, I was never felt seen or heard as a young boy. My father was this kind of absent character, you know. Yeah. And then if you have that experience as a son in relation to your father, then you kind of think, okay, it's going to be the same. What kind of role shall I take, you know? Can I make the same mistakes as my dad did? So that's a huge challenge to take that responsibility on the shoulders. And as I said, there's so many men who miss that nourishment. And I think that's one of the beauties in man's work, also with the unconditional man. We don't need to work or do therapy. It's mainly the coming together in an atmosphere of honesty, and an atmosphere of vulnerability, and really like friends and brothers. And then magic happens, you know. You don't really need to work so much psychologically seen. It's just that nourishment that we have been missing. And then once we connect as men, then, you know, everything becomes possible.
So which tools do you use so men are able to make peace with their fathers?
There's actually very beautiful tools. And as I mentioned, most of them are not therapeutic because the work, how it changed in the man's work, that became much less problem-oriented, much less deficiency-oriented, much less past-oriented, but much more future-oriented and resource-based. So that means this ritual kind of reconnect you with something that's inside yourself. Mm-hmm. So that love for the father and that nourishment is something that's human, that's written in our genes. We just forgot about it because of our mad society, let's say. So what we do are rituals. And one example is like a ritual that's taken from the Hellinger constellation world, where there's three generations we have, and we call that the intergenerational dialogue or meeting. So we have the ancestors, which is the whole line of forefathers and forefathers that had been, you know, struggling for thousands of years to protect their children, to protect their family. And without them, we would not be here.
Yes, totally.
So that all that hardship, all the wars they had to fight, all the terrible stuff that happened is basically the foundation that we exist. So that first step is like prayer or gratitude towards the ancestor, which opens a big, big door to the inside. And then when that energy starts to flow, then interesting, the fathers that had not feeling ready to become fathers for their sons, they suddenly get plucked into something very ancient, very nourishing. And then the magic happens that the fathers that had been kind of absent, you know, in the constellation, in that ritual, suddenly turn back to their sons, and you can see it in their eyes. You know, before they were not there, they were absent, but suddenly there's love flowing in their eyes. And God, my son, you know, like a welcoming feeling, a pride, you know, and you can see then that the son is standing on the other side and their eyes just go kind of drowning into the love of their father's eyes. So that's in, you could call it initiation ritual. It's not therapeutic, but it's kind of accessing an ancient wisdom that once we open the door to that flow of energy between the ancestors, fathers, and the sons, then the healing starts to happen.
Amazing. And how do you welcome the sons also into this equation that you just mentioned?
Well, there's many possibilities to invite the sons. First, we are all sons of our fathers. So that ritual usually is for men coming to a retreat or seminar, and they put themselves into the position of when they had been sons, and they explore their relation with their fathers. So the healings happen between, let's say, the adult man remembering the role when he was a little boy and anything he was kind of longing for and everything that was missing with his father. So that's for adult men in a workshop to heal their feeling of a son in relation to their fathers, in relation to their forefathers. So that's one possibility. But another one, beautiful, that we start to work with in the autumn is that we invite fathers to bring their sons, you know. So okay. I would invite my son, he's 25 now. Mm. And actually I did that many years ago when he was 17. I invited him to join a men's group here on the island. Okay. And then, you know, he was like 17 and another friend was there 18. And then all the other guys were between, the oldest one was 72 and anything in between. So it was a whole, all the generations present. So that was another possibility that the sons are present with their real fathers, meeting their ancestors and all the dialogue going on, you know, about, oh, how is it like to be a man, okay, and how is it like to make money, and how is it with women, and how is it about sexuality, that the young guys can have all these questions and meet men that experience life and all the different phases that we go through from youth to mid-age to the old age.
And do they have the possibility of partaking in rites of passage?
That would be a rite of passage, that healing constellation that I called, because it's healing the sons, it's healing the fathers, and it's respecting and welcoming the forefathers. But there's many other rituals. One we plan on doing, and I tried it with my son when he was 15 only. It's a very traditional one that the indigenous people also use, where they sleep in the forest, you know, for a night alone in the middle of the darkness and maybe some wild animals, which we don't have on Ibiza, but still it's dark and it's a bit scary. And you're alone there, and the family brings, or the fathers bring you to the forest and build up your camp for the night, and then you're alone as a 15, 16, 17-year-old. So that's a very powerful initiation. And there's other initiations. Interesting, most of the initiation rituals have a certain element which we... It's not about this courage of boldness, you know, jumping off a cliff, which is beautiful too, but they have an element where they become part of the tribe, where they start to take on responsibility for the community. Sometimes they have to produce a pottery or with a basket or produce something that's used in the community. Sometimes they have to go to the forest and bring back some food, hunt a deer, because that's the initiation that now you are co-responsible for your tribe. And as a young man, you're contributing for the well-being of your people. I think that's a very beautiful aspect of initiation rituals. So it's not just jumping off the cliffs and all that, which is great, but it has an element of responsibility responsibility, social responsibility.
So important, the rite of passage for men and women. I'd like to hear more information about when and where do these meetings happen. When do you guys meet? Where? In Ibiza, outside, online?
We founded that community, or we co-created with my partner, the Unconditional Man community in Ibiza. Mm-hmm. And then for sure we started on the island because it's beautiful to do rituals outdoor. You know, we had fire rituals where we let go something of the past. We had rituals by the beach. We went into caves to chant together. We went for walks in the forest, you know, even in the night with torchlights and, you know, pretty wild cliffs of the north of Ibiza. So that's how we started. And then we had also meetings in beautiful venues, in seminar houses, where we had the typical sharing circles with a talking stick and all that most men already know. But then we said, okay, that's a beautiful start. But the wish of many men was to take it a step deeper and not just to come once in a while, kind of uncommitted whenever you feel like for a man's circle sharing, but to make a process like a 6 week where we have a full commitment that we stick together so that you come each time. And then these explorations we called journeys.
Okay.
And these journeys are progressive and topical, means for each journey we have an issue or topic. We started with purpose because there's so many men these days. There's so many men these days who kind of are not in touch with their purpose in life. They're lacking that sensation of I really know what's meaningful. And they're pretty disconnected. They're disconnected with themselves and they're disconnected with other people. So kind of finding the purpose, why are you here? What's really meaningful? I think for most men's exploration is a very important beginning. So we had purpose. Then we had exploration around courage. We had another 6 weeks exploration around integration of masculinity and femininity. So that's the second what we offer, which we call the journeys, topical kind of exploring with a commitment. And then we start now to bring people from abroad to the island, and that's more retreats, where for 4, 5, 6 days, we live together, we eat together, we go out together to the beaches, we share, we explore, we are honest with each other. So that's more like an intensive retreat. And then we have these kind of retreats also abroad. We call that retreat called the Men's Liberation. It's happening in Germany, regularly based. In autumn, it's happening in Italy, in Tuscany. It's happening in south of Spain. So we already reach out. There's communities in Portugal that want to join us, in Switzerland. So our vision is to expand it also into the whole of Europe, this work, which is going to be the next step.
Sounds so good to integrate meditation, therapy with nature, all this combined with the togetherness of the circle must be so, so beautiful.
That's the sense of that we all are in the same boat. We thought that we are islands and that we are separated and we are disconnected and we have to fight for ourselves and we are not allowed to ask for help and all these old patterns. But then we realize, hey, we have the same topics, we have the same challenges, we have the same questions in life. And why not help each other? Why not reflect and support each other in this process? And then it becomes so much more easy to do this work together instead compared to doing it alone. And also interesting, it's not easier, it's not only easier, it's also very nourishing. I had many online trainings and other trainings where at the beginning sharing, the man said, you know, I was so tired today and I was sure today I would not come and I wanted to cancel, but somehow I made it. And then now already after 10 minutes, I feel so refreshed. I heard that so many times, yeah.
Wow.
That there happens something, and I said before, without doing therapeutic work, without effort, without, you know, trying to reach a goal, just being in that field of brothers,
yes,
things start to happen. and sometimes without words. I remember you asked about the rituals outdoor. We were sitting in a cave and we had a fire. And we all had prepared these pieces of paper with patterns in ourselves that we were ready to let go, give it back to the fire. This is something old. This is not me. I learned it in my childhood, but I don't need it right now anymore. So it was kind of a grateful saying goodbye to an old pattern. And we started off with a meditation, closing the eyes, and it was a nature sound meditation where we listened. It was very close to the sea. We listened to the waves coming in and out, and we listen to the sound of the fire, maybe for 10 minutes. And then after that, we opened the eyes again, and one guy shared, you know, just listening to the waves, the ocean was teaching me so much the last minutes, more than in all the seminars together. I said, wow. Wow. So that's some of these elements that nature is so powerful. And that's why we love to bring people also to the island, because I think it's one of the most beautiful islands in the whole world. And the nature is so, you know, innocent, juvenile, healthy, fresh. Mm.
So it feels like you men have been listening to the ancient wisdom through the fire and through the waves. I'd like to know, what is the difference between being held by a woman and being held in a space of men?
It's multidimensional. First, for most men, not for all, but most men that come for men's courses, they tell that in the beginning they had been mainly working with women, and that it was easier for them to relax in the arms of a woman, because somehow deep down it reminds them of being held by their mothers, of the caring, compassionate, empathic energy of the woman that was presented by their mothers. So it's kind of the cell memories said, okay, that's a woman, it's safe, it's a bit like mom, so I can relax. Now, father was usually not present. Then we have also a lot of men coming in, I would say, you know, a third to maybe in close of half of them that had very negative experience with their fathers. Not only that they were not present, but they were maybe violent, abusive, cold, pushy, competitive, whatever. So to trust a man is actually not that easy at the beginning. But once it happens, then that dimension opens that I described as the ancient wisdom flowing again, that we are the same kind. There's a lot of similarity between the different masculinities. And then they share that it's actually much more relaxed to be here in the room without any woman, because the dynamic, the second a woman enters in a room, you know, the dynamic of all the 25 men, it starts to change immediately, you know. So, and I say it's so relaxing to not have another woman and have a woman in the room. Mm. So it's many dimensions. In the beginning, for some men, it's maybe easier to relax in the arms of a woman. But then ultimately, after some time, they realize how important that is, and also how beautiful when that male energy starts to flow again between the fathers and the sons and the brothers and all that.
I also heard from some brothers that these circles were an opportunity for them to have freedom and experience adventure.
I think that's a beautiful, important beginning, that when you start doing men's work, that there's often rituals and exercises that are related to moving your energy, to feel your roots underground. Maybe it's like a drumming session or dancing around the fire, or ecstatic dance, or no, because the male body is actually built to move. And if you sit in your office chair for too long, yoga, you get schlapp. So the masculinity needs action, needs movement, which is beautiful. It needs the fire and the groundedness of a healthy masculinity. That's one step. But the next element, which is kind of enriching it, is when that energy of fiery masculinity connects inside the man with their femininity. Mm. And there's this beautiful symbol in the Indian mythology of the Shiva Lingam, which is the symbol for the male creativity, standing in the yoni, which is the foundation, the basis of femininity. And what it says is that man only can stand in their true, healthy, masculine power if they're rooted inside in their femininity. If men are not connected with their femininity, which is their vulnerability, their compassion, their caring, their empathy, their intuition, and so on and so on. If they're not connected with these aspects, then the male energy runs danger of becoming hard, pushy, achieving, efforting, kind of negative aspects of masculinity. And that gets balanced when the men allow themselves their feminine qualities. And then the masculine gets a complete different dynamic and complete different dimension. Then it really becomes, you know, that healthy, positive warrior for truth that protects the tribe, that's not against anybody, that's just like a very healthy expression of masculinity, creative expression.
Wow, and we need that so much.
That's what we need now, you know. The world is in a mess. It doesn't need men who judge themselves and feel guilty and inadequate and small and like a little boy. It needs real men, you know. Men who stand in their fire, men who can lift their power. That's because they're not afraid anymore of the negative aspects of power, which actually is not power, it's force. Mm-hmm. No, the effort, the ambition, the ego, that's not power, it's force. Mm-hmm. So they transcended the forceful side of power and they discover there's a beautiful side of manpower. And that's what the planet needs. We need to recreate this planet. We need to reinvent how we live together. We need to solve so many problems. We have so many challenges. So for solving all the mess we are in, we need a very creative, inventive, healthy male spirit, hand in hand with a very loving and caring, heartful, courageous femininity.
Totally, so important that these men's circles are happening. To start wrapping up the episode, I would like if you can talk about unconditional men. When are the next retreats? And I'd love to know some of the feedbacks that men share with you regarding their experiences.
Okay, so first to the unconditional man, we call it a community because we all have been working as facilitators and seminar leaders. Most of us been working alone, traveling around the world. You know, I've been in Riyadh and in Hong Kong and Mexico and Moscow and doing my thing alone, which was great. But somehow there was a new dimension coming in to do it, to create, to co-create, to do it together with brothers. So what we do, we reach out to men's circle in Europe. We have connections in Portugal, in Switzerland, in Germany. We had the participants from Saudi Arabia, from Greece, from Athens, and all over. And that feels such a different quality coming in if you have men from many different cultural backgrounds, not only Germans or Spanish men, but to mix it. So that's a big dream that we had to expand. And what's beautiful in that many of these guys are younger men in age 30 plus. And I mentioned many times, you know, we really want to learn from you because you're doing this work for 30 years. And they show this openness to other men to get inspired, to learn from the elders. I remember I was fighting everybody above 30, you know. I didn't want to listen to any man what they told me because I had to do it alone. So I think that's quite a shift of attitude and mindset in men, the younger men, that I say, no, let's learn from each other. And I respect the elders in this case because we do the work for so many years. We are in the elders, but it doesn't mean that we are higher or more important. There's no hierarchy. So we have no hierarchy. We are a circle of friends. It's a community. And the feedback that we get from participants also, we did quite a few testimonials and so on. They were blown away how much has been happening for them in a very short time. Mm-hmm. They say it has not been just an experience within a seminar room, which was beautiful and exciting and uplifting and all that, but that the key for them was that they felt instant changes in their own behavior. In relation to their work, many of them were running a company or startup or CEOs. Many of them are fathers. Many of them are in relationship with another man or with another woman. And they describe that they instantly could observe changes in their daily life, how they act, how they react, how they regulate their emotions. Instead of getting pissed off, they take a breath and say, wait a moment, I have other options how I could respond now. So they have all these examples of instant, tangible change without their daily life. And I thought that was really one of the best feedbacks that one could get, that it makes a change in their lives.
And do you also work with the nervous system?
Is one of the important aspects, which A, has to do with regulating emotions, with impulse control and all that stuff, with resilience and all these topics that are quite known, so that when an impulse comes, that we have some space, some gap where we can respond more consciously, more aware.
Yes.
That's one part of it, kind of regulating emotions and impulse control. But the other one, which I find very interesting, is that we also use techniques how to rewire the brain from neuroplasticity and neurology, kind of research into, you know, how are these old patterns functioning and what keeps them kind of getting triggered again and again. And if I find the trigger, couldn't I rewrite that program? So that's neuroplasticity. It says that the patterns that the neurons form within the brain, they're not static. Mm. They're not chiseled in stone. They are very fluid. Mm. So and how we can rewire them is by A, becoming aware of it. What's my habitual reaction? And then to look, how do I want to replace it? What would be more loving? What would be more conscious? What would be more friendly towards myself and so on? And then once I know that, to create rituals. So even there we work with rituals. Rituals that replace destructive, unwanted, so-called bad behavior, bad habits, and to replace them by something more positive. And then another element is basically the repetition, to reward yourself and to do it again and again. So I think that was one of the reasons why the guy said, you know, I could really notice that gap of reaction and make a different choice. And I was so proud about it that I didn't go down the old path of being angry and frustration and blaming and attacking and having all this relationship quarrel, but say, wait, not again. And they really managed. I thought it's amazing. So it makes me proud.
And when is the next course or the next retreat on Ibiza?
So we have online courses. We are still running them at the moment because there's guys from abroad that we want to, you know, build a network and stay in touch with them. And then now in the summer season, you know, everyone's a bit crazy on the island and nobody can really focus and commit for such a deep journey.
Okay.
And it needs a commitment. So we postponed all the activities, the retreats, to October. So we have two retreats coming up in October.
Wow.
One is more for leaders, for men that work with the regeneration of the planet, and also rebuilding their business. And I call it man of the heart, you know. Mm. They're running businesses, they are really successful in life, but they felt there's something more to life than just money and success. So they have this heart connection. This is a beautiful bunch of guys. And then we have a second one coming in October, which is mainly for the man who did the Path of Love, who did the Man's Liberation, who did the primal courses, so who already worked on themselves, who have a lot of experience in personal development, and who feel like going a step deeper. So we have two different kind of seminars coming up in October.
So what I understand is that the weekly circles start back in October. Is that correct?
We thought about weekly circles. We do open circle now where it's summer. Maybe we go for dinner together and then we have some sharing like we did last year in Sabina's and some beautiful places.
Okay.
But there's so much happening at the moment on the island. And after Corona, everybody has to get their activities going. So it's like crazy, full of activities. So we said we have some open circles in the summer, but only every second week. Then we refocus in the autumn in September. In September, we want to do a course for fathers and sons with some initiation rituals. Then in October, we have the course for leader and regeneration and for the people who have a lot of experience in personal development from Paths of Love and all the different courses. And then the online courses, we also start again in September. All that you find in our website. And we actually just launched that website yesterday. And it's called unconditionalman.com, so man with the E. So there you find all the information about courses, circles, and retreats.
Okay, I will link that information in the show notes.
Oh, great.
So everybody can access it. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, just one more thing. So when we start with the fathers and the sons or with the explorations in the autumn, can you please let all the women know that the men started to work on themselves and send them to us?
Yeah.
I think it's so important. And I know, I mean, it was not a joke, but I know that women are so happy that men finally have confront their shadows and work on their topics. So there's a lot of women on the islands who come up to us and say, I'm so happy, you know, we have men circles running for 40 years and now you finally start going deeper in that work. So yeah, please send your man to us.
Totally. So I will make sure that all men and women know about your next retreats. And Sudhir, it has been such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And it was a pleasure to talk about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe let's do it again.
Ilumina meu jardim de rosas e flores de jasmim. Tua luz é um manto, tua graça é um canto. Nossa alma traz as memórias com teu abraço de calma. A lua purifica as nossa alma, traz as memórias com teu abraço de calma. Vós sois amiga de todos os seres, de tus estrelinhas, as minhas águas iluminas, com tua pureza.